37. And here we go. And a 1 and a 2. And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 37, Avengers vs. X-Men Battle Report number 2. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard, I think.
I am still Murray Fox.
Woo! Okay. Here we are. Our second battle report. We got a couple, we got 2 weeks worth of stuff. Talk about the actual issue as well as some of the tie-ins. We can do whichever one first you want to do. Not really that much, as I figured the tie-ins would be. Well, I guess I'll just start.
Yeah, let's go chronological.
Okay. New Avengers. Let's see. Hold on.
Yeah, what happened? I didn't read that one.
Well, not much, really. It was,
What? A Bendis book? Nothing happened?
Well, you know, and I've read the three tie-ins that came out in the last 2 weeks. You got New Avengers, number 24. You have Wolverine and the X-Men, number 9, and Avengers, number 25. Now, pretty much all those broad strokes... These like showing things that happened to the Avengers and or X-Men before the throwdown in Avengers versus X-Men number 1 is really what you're seeing background stuff. Apparently the Avengers are the new bad guy. The public is protesting them and all this good stuff. And, you know, I don't know what that's all about. It has something to do with Norman Osborn.
And Wonder Man, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that Wonder Man because I remember when they first. Yeah, don't put the Avengers back together, and they show him in interviews and little snippets in New Avengers. But anyway, New Avengers. Yeah, go ahead.
The crappy annuals that they did last year.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. You might know more about it than I do. I'm coming in on cold on some of this stuff, and some of it I know just from looking at solicits and whatever. Just, I might know broad strokes, but not details. But, pretty much, New Avengers number 24 is all about Luke Cage and, Jessica, what's her last name? Damn it.
Jones.
Which, I'm confused, because I thought Jessica Jones was, in fact, Spider-Woman.
No, that's Jessica Drew.
Drew! Okay, that's why I don't understand the Jessica thing, because they're both Jessica.
Yes, they are. Well, that was the original idea, was that she was, when Bendis first did Alias back in the day, that was his feint on it. That was how he was tricking people. Ooh, read this book. This is a new Spider-Woman book.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not actually saying. I never actually said it.
Oh, I see. So he's a sneaky bastard then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That kind of confused me, and I'd forgotten her name, so I just kept reading Jessica, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, okay, and I don't know when her and Luke Cage got together and all that stuff. I remember reading that somewhere, but basically she told him, you got to choose, I guess Norman Osborn threatened a baby, and, you know, being the upstanding citizen that he is, and she took off, and now he said something about her quitting the Avengers, which, what does she do?
What are her powers, Murray? I can't remember.
I don't know. She used to wear a purple suit, I think. Was her name Jewel or something? She was probably... I haven't ever...
That's fine.
All I know is what I've heard. She can fly.
I remember that. I remember she can fly, but that's...
She can fly, and she's strong, and...
Okay. So, basically a Superman analog, then. The standard... What we would call the... a tank, if you were talking City of Heroes game.
Sure, she's a tank.
So, kind of like he is, you know. Anyway, Luke Cage. But anyway, she basically said the baby's the most important thing. You know, they both had said at different parts of the comic, I didn't plan on this, having a kid and having a wife. And, you know, and she basically said, you got to pick the baby or you got to pick the Avengers. You can't be both because it's not safe. And so then it shows up. Then Cap pulls them all together. You know, this is really secret. And that's the scene I'd seen in the preview with Aro leaving the big group. And he lays out the whole thing about the Phoenix. And, of course, you know, she says, you know, Jessica Jones says, I don't know what the Phoenix is. And he tells them. And that kind of leads into that. So it's like before they ever even went to Utopia. So that's how they tie in. So it's kind of like, you know, obviously what tie-ins are is try to get you to read those other books, you know. So yeah, you could skip that. If you haven't bought it yet, I mean, it's a little late, but you can skip that.
If this is well, you know, I'll save my comment for afterwards. Never mind.
Yeah. And you know, broad strokes again, Avengers, the Wolverine and the X-Men number 9, which I know Caleb, you're reading that anyway. To me, this was the exact same thing, except for the mutants end of it, sort of. Even though Wolverine's a traitorous dog.
I have not read it yet. It's sitting there into my to read pile. I could glance through it probably while we're talking, but
that's pretty much it. It shows stuff going around on the campus, you know, the whatever drama's going on there, and then it's basically the scene that's in the first AVX number 1. Captain America shows up, does his spiel. There's more with the Beast. And everything. And it shows little snippets of people out there somewhere in the galaxy taking bets on which planet the Phoenix Force is going to destroy, which I thought was interesting.
Always bet against the broccoli people.
Yeah, exactly. It even mentioned that. The broccoli people were actually mentioned in here.
See, there you go.
So there's that. Avengers number 20. I mean, seriously, I mean, there's nothing new there. Maybe little tidbits that come out, but that could be just me not knowing those tidbits too. So it just depends on how much you invested. Avengers number 25 is pretty much the same thing. It's stuff leading up to the first issue, like it's like background stuff. You see them take down an AIM base, you know, and Cap's under a lot of pressure to have a good thing. So that's kind of like there's a little bit of PR involved with why he's going after these guys.
Oh, it's probably just the fugly Simonson art that was in there. So
yeah, actually it is Simonson art. It's not bad.
Except for the Thor splash. That book was.
I take it you read that?
I looked at the shelf copy.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad. Yeah. Well, he's been doing the art for a few, hasn't he?
I think this is the first one for Simonson.
Mm. And then there's this spoilers, anyone? There's a reveal at the end. Apparently the Kree Supreme Intelligence contacts are the Kree member. And he pretty much says that, you know, I put you here to help protect Earth because the Empire shall ever protect Earth. But now I need you to help contain the Phoenix Force. And if the Earthlings you will help the Earthlings if it helps you in your mission. But if anyone or anything stands in your way, you are to eliminate them. Nothing is more important to the Empire or to you than the interception and containment of this force. So how that's going to play out in the main book, I don't know. But that's really the only tidbit and that was like on the very last page. So you could go to the comic shop, read the last page, and you're good. So, yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell for those.
Isn't that the way it is with all three of these, though? Is it?
Yeah, it's
set up, lots of exposition, and
yeah, they're pretty much set up, which, you know, I was expecting, like you would expect at any tie-in thing. It depends. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Infinite Crisis, all those tie-ins to that, where you'd see, like, stuff that happened before the issue that came out that month, and then there'd be, like, three or four pages or even or less of, like, a different view of things that happened in that issue, and then you'd see stuff after. But this is all actually before leading up to Avengers vs. X-Men number one.
Huh. I'm okay with that if there's a regular... Like, if you're a regular Avengers reader or whatever, and you're getting some of the setup, as long as you're getting a regular Avengers story mixed in with that setup, I think it's probably okay.
Yeah, because, like, you know, the last page of, you know, the new Avengers number 24, it's showing Luke Cage jumping out of the helicarrier. And there is a continuity thing already between issue 1 and issue 2 of AVX as well. And we'll get to that.
Alrighty.
So, again, as Murray was alluding to, these are good if you read these books regularly and you're not expecting to read the main AVX series, like anyone's not going to be. But if you are expecting a talky Bendis book, there's lots and lots of words in there. If you're looking for a clever, goofy art book from Jason Aaron and Chris Backlow, mm-hmm. It looks like Wolverine and the X-Men is exactly what you expect it to be.
Exactly.
You know, snarky, et cetera, et cetera.
Like that they show them in the helicarrier right before, you know, Cap and Cyclops throw down. You know, it's like I said, things that lead up to it, and they're chit-chatting, and like Mockingbird asks Spider-Man, she goes, what's the deal with the Spider Island thing? And he goes, well, you know, that actually wasn't my fault. And then like Iron Man goes, shut up, you know, or quiet back there, you know, and that was kind of, those kind of little things are kind of funny. But otherwise, you could completely skip those and you're not missing anything.
The bannering of these things is AVX. These should have been AVX Prelude, to be honest with you. But
those should have been, yeah.
But that's just me.
No. Okay.
It's not dishonest, but it makes it seem like these. I don't even know how to word because they do have impact on the. On the regular titles, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
On their own titles.
Okay, I take back what I said about the continuity thing. No, but it's kind of funny. I read something, I think it was you, Murray, that put in on the, or was it one of the other guys in the Facebook group, and they were talking about, you know, Avengers versus X-Men, and nothing makes me feel more... I don't know how he put it. The guy did a blog post, and it was like, you know, nothing makes me think more of Avengers versus X-Men to see the Thing and Namor the Submariner duke it out underwater. You know, neither one of them you would think is in that, would think, you know, you think a Thing, that's a Fantastic Four, but there he is, he's in the Avengers like everybody else in the Marvel Universe. That's what they really should call this, is the Marvel Universe versus the Marvel Universe.
That's right.
But anyway.
I'd buy that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Marvel U beats Marvel U.
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's get into the... And we've all read the number two, right?
I have.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So.
So we got a recap page.
Yeah, recap page. Okay, wait a minute. Let's go over the post-game report that's on Newsarama. And it says, be warned, following article contains major spoilers for Avengers vs. X-Men number 2, Wolverine and X-Men number 9, and Avengers number 25. So, you know, big question. Oh, and yeah, Spider-Man has the best opening page. I like that too. It's like, wow, Avengers versus X-Men. This is really happening. I love that. That was funny. Let's see. To talk about if there's anything in here. Nah, it just goes over the details. But the thing that I thought was off was I thought in the end of Avengers versus X-Men number one, excuse me, AVX, I'm going to start saying that, save some time. Cut off 5 or 6 minutes off this podcast just by saying that. Unless we need to fill, then I can continue to say it in the long run. Because I thought that the guys had jumped off the helicarrier and were actually on their way down to the ground, and then in like the second page they show Cyclops being thrown up and hitting the helicarrier. So I thought that was off, but they're in exact same spot.
You mean Colossus?
Colossus, excuse me, or Juggernaut, or because he's got the bands. Looks like he's got Juggernaut's set up on his hands. I thought it was interesting. I'm just not digging the bald Colossus. Though I was pleased to see a fastball special on page 2. That was very refreshing.
A modified fastball. Yes.
It made me remember my Ute. So. But yeah, I like. I'm rooting for the X-Men in this. Who you guys rooting for? Or do you care?
I actually think that there are no good guys right now.
It's just that I identify so much with and I mean, I like Cap, don't get me wrong. Okay. It's just that the way he came in there, it's like, okay, hand over the kid. And it just, you know, whether he's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. It just, you know, Utopia is practically a sovereign nation anyway.
It is a sovereign nation, actually. They
did do that?
Yeah, they declared their sovereignocity. Hey, if you can make up words, Murray, I can make up words.
Okay? Yeah, sure. Totally.
I like sovereignocity.
I like that, too, as a matter of fact. Let's call Webster up.
I don't remember how long ago it was, but it was they sometime before this all started, of course, that the they declared themselves as a little nation off the coast of San Francisco, sort of like Cuba off the coast of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Cyclops is a nut job.
You think so?
Yes.
He's not coming off very stable in this issue, I don't think.
Yeah, I could see that.
David, what is it? Luke Cage? Who says it to?
It was Luke. Says, how come nobody told me Cyclops was this damn crazy? Yeah. Well, see, he is definitely a different character than what the last I read, however many years ago. You know, I don't know what I know him and I've seen bits and pieces of stuff with him and Professor X. Professor, from what I remember looking at, he. A lot of the reasons he brought those team together, he just like out and out lied to all of them about it. And he's in that X-Men Legacy book, but I mean, he's not even the boss anymore. They kind of ostracized him from what I saw, but I could be wrong.
No, he's an advisor on Utopia. He's not part of the core group,
mm-hmm.
but he's there. And my understanding from reading some of the stuff on comic book resources is that being a telepath, he will be a part of this story.
I would think so. Is he still the most powerful telepath on the planet?
I don't know.
And I remember back from my X-Men days that Magneto, you know, one of the times he was a bad guy, which I don't think he's either. He's pretty still much a bad guy now. But anyway. That with the whole mutant decimation, that good guy bad guy thing's kind of been blurred as far as mutants go, at least from my opinion. So,
are we gonna pick it? Are we gonna talk about moments in this book?
Yeah,
whatever you want to do. Well, let me finish my point, though. The thing I remember from when he was Magneto, he'd done something to the magnetic field of the Earth and made long-distance telepathic communication not possible or something like that, and muted, you know, his powers or something.
I'm guessing that was swept under the table.
Anyway, that was a long time ago.
I'm guessing that we are not – that at least for the purposes of this story, that never happened.
That's fine. All right, let's do it.
You know, there was a moment that really bugged me, especially after reading that Avengers versus X-Men or the Zero issue where Scarlet Witch is like, you know, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to prove myself all over again. And she's kind of she's got a personality. And then there's this moment in Avengers X-Men number 2 where she's sitting there doodling, and then she kind of casually gets up and walks off screen. The two personality moments didn't mesh for me.
No, I agree. I saw that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, in Zero issue, she's trying to get out there and make a name for herself or redeem herself again, and now she's hanging out in a dark room writing in her diary. Now, maybe that's what happens when you get dissed by the Vision. Like, maybe.
Yeah, that was kind of a harsh pill to swallow.
That was really harsh. So maybe she needs a day or two to just recover from that horrible verbal beatdown he gave her.
Well, then she doesn't need to wear the stupid hat.
Now, what do you think? In her little journal there, this is how the world ends. Do you think... is that just her? Is that just the creative team going, haha, maybe we'll trick you into thinking this? Or do you think she knows something? Or do you think she's guessing something?
It just depends on her power level, I guess. I mean, she has had training in actual magic now. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she has. Yes.
So she's a sorceress in her own right. She might have actually picked something up.
I think that it is a feint. I think, again, something just popped into my head. We've talked about this before, that, you know, Flashpoint was DC's opportunity to reboot their universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is how the universe ends. Okay, bam, they blow up the universe, but then they can reboot it.
You really think they're coming towards that? I mean, I've heard that rumor too, and a lot of people think that from what I've read.
I hope not, but that would, I mean, if we were to go with the idea that that panel actually represents
them telling us.
Yeah, telling us, "Hey, this is how this series is going to end." Boom. Mm-hmm. Then there you go. Yeah. Marvel gets their reboot.
I don't know. I think Marvel would have a tough time swallowing having to do a reboot. I think they're going to try to find every way possible to do a reboot without doing a reboot. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, because as much as they're putting into it, I could see. And okay, off that topic just a second. Is anybody else bugged by the Red Hulk being an Avenger? I really don't know much about the character, but he's like, you know, I know I read up on like Wiki or whatever to finally find out who the hell Red Hulk is, and it's General Thunderbolt Ross, and
it's William Hurt,
and yeah, and you know, he's just like all gung ho and whatever, and you know, Captain America just accepts him. He's like a squad leader, you know. He sounds like a drill sergeant in the Avengers issue. That's what he's like. He's giving them all tips on how to fight them, and I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
He was brought in as an Avenger when Steve Rogers was Commander Rogers of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever they called themselves this week. He wanted some, you know, a big gun in the Avengers, and he kind of, not forced him on the Avengers, but suggested that he would be a valuable addition to their firepower. And at least that's how I remember it. God knows I could be wrong. But I'm not bugged by it. I mean, he's just...
it's just me being gone for a long time and coming in. You know, I still got a lot of the old school thoughts in my head. Of course, I mean, I read that first Incredible Hulk one with the Green Hulk, and that was like, I don't want to read about that damn character either, so...
Which what are you talking about?
The Incredible Hulk series that they came out with Silvestri doing art. And it's like, you know, Hulk, just leave me alone. He's hanging out with the mole people, you know, underground. Did you read that?
No.
I only read the one, and it's like, how much money did I spend on this? It's crap.
Okay, well, you can just take your green marker and make the Red Hulk green. And
well, I don't know.
The Avengers.
I like blue better.
So. Alrighty.
The Blue Hulk.
Yes. You know, it's be like the red-blue Superman. You know?
I thought you were going to say that we were going to have 7 different colored Hulks.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Anyway.
I don't think anyone's done anything even similar to that recently.
No, so. Not in a while, no.
Take a drink.
All right. Hey, take a drink.
There you go. They've expanded the X-Men in this book, too, like from 6 members last issue to...
Well, they were inside before.
A lot. I guess, yeah, they were just hanging out inside waiting for their time to
They only counted the people that were on the beach. So, yes. And they got Wolverine and Storm on the red line, but, you know, Storm is obviously, you know.
Is taking the X-Men side right now.
And they got Dazzler on their team, so, I mean, they'll take anybody.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
Speaking of that, I know, okay. I know who Pixie is. I've seen some of that. Who is Madison Jeffries? Who is that guy?
Murray, this one's yours. Go for
it. Yeah, he's from Alpha Flight.
Madison Jeffries.
Doesn't look the way I remember him, but he...
Oh, that sounds familiar.
He was like, he was Box. He was like, what did he do? He was like mechanically inclined and...
He manipulates mechanical things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Here we go.
And recently, I think he had a moment with Danger.
Here we go.
Ooh.
Is a fictional blah, 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 with ability to reshape plastic, metal, and glass to shape any shape you desire. He also has a technopathic ability to mentally communicate with AI such as machines and robots. Okay. I remember seeing that somewhere. Yeah. All right, good to know.
And he's nuts.
I remember too. It was like some one shot they did where the very first Alpha Flight Wolverine had to train, was going to train him, and I think that's what I saw.
Yeah, and he's a member of the X Club.
I know. I vaguely know Dr. Nemesis.
Oh, I got no idea who that was, but that's a cool look for X-Man.
Yeah, he was. They had a limited series after the Schism thing called the X Club or something like that, and it was like the science team. He's part of the science team.
Huh.
He's really smart, and he's a real
He was a bad guy, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he is to the X-Men, kind of the what Jessica Jones is over in the Avengers, like this character who appeared like once, and then all of a sudden they said, okay, let's make this character important and give him personality. So someone did, and he developed. I don't think it was during Morrison run. It was right after that, but it was kind of when Utopia came around.
Right,
he was there as a science dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that was the name of the series, X Club.
But it's still going. It just ended.
Oh, okay. So you got Transonic, Velicio Dad. Oh, that's a bad name. Loa and Surge, which I assume aren't those some of those New Hope mutants?
Yes.
Are they? Okay. Don't have any idea what they do. I know who Danger is. So, okay. I was just concerned. or conservative.
And it's, geez. Yeah, it's like, it doesn't
I know
even
that name.
Their faces in the crowd for this.
Yeah,
sport.
They're probably red shirts. I don't know if anybody's going to get killed in this or not.
Oh, it'll be a death or two. I'm sure. Oh, totally.
Oh, man,
we can't do an event without a death.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And Chris, if you're lucky, the red shirt will be the Red Hulk. I mean, he's how much more red shirt can you get than that?
Yeah. I wonder how sales on his title's going.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out if he dies in this or not.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so what else would we...
We'll see a repeat of the Perez Crisis 7 cover with Hulk standing there with Rolls in his arms.
Oh, man, there you go. That's what I'd like to call them to call him is Rolk, but I'm sure he would get angry about that.
Well, they do. That is his nickname.
Yeah.
Probably not, but you're right, probably not to his face.
Yeah, I would just love Cap to call him that. Okay, Rolk.
Rolky.
And let's see. And then you see lots of thwacking.
Yes.
Cyclops gets hit in the head a couple of times, which I'm sure is going to help his mental state.
Yeah, he gets hit in the head by Cap's shield at one point.
Yeah, twice, actually.
How does that not take his head off?
Maybe he was pulling his punches. You know, he doesn't, you know, Cap's might be a soldier, but he's somewhat of a pacifist. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, he says right there, he gets a freaking concussion, and then he gets back up. I mean, I've never personally had a concussion, but I've known somebody who has, and I've watched enough ER to know that a concussion.
I've had one. It's bad news.
Yeah, you're not getting up and shooting people. I don't know.
Well, actually, I did get up and walk around and do things, and you know, drove myself home and tried to go to work, but I don't remember any of it.
Did you fight Captain America? I mean, come on.
No, I fought Concrete. That's a long story. Like the little snippets that say, you know, irradiated muscle strain, organic metal groans. I like that.
I love the writing in this book.
I couldn't tell if he was being silly or... I mean, some of it seems silly, like the, you know, indestructible shield meets mutant skull, the first of the day's concussions. You know, it's like, okay.
I love that descriptive. I think it's awesome. Like it was great. Like they did show and tell. They showed you what was happening, and then they told you what was happening. But they used like descriptive, super descriptive language. They used like Marvel language. It was awesome. I loved it. Like normally you would have seen that. Like that scene where. White chick, Emma Frost pounds Iron Man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Years past, all you would have seen is the punch, and that would have been it. Mm-hmm. And this one, we get like organic diamond meets multi-billion dollar armor, the most expensive punch in history. Like, you don't need it there, but reading it is
so I kind of like that, too.
Oh, my gosh. The whole book was filled with stuff like that, and I liked it. Like, was it over the top? Maybe a little, but...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
A little?
It did make it over the top.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. I like my books. Over the top.
So you're saying it was over the top, Caleb?
It was over the top in the same way, though, that the finale in a fireworks show is over the top. I mean, come on. This was pure silliness, pure fanboy guy, you know, superhero beats on superhero thing that we all... kind of think about it at moments or have thought about it at moments. You're absolutely right. It was just fun. But I doubt that there's going to be consequences. It's just Bendis and company getting a chance to show people kicking each other's ass.
Yeah. And you know, this might be his Avengers. Yeah, 'cause you know, the rumor is he's taking over X-Men, all the X-Men stuff. And this might be his way of finishing his Avengers run and starting his X-Men run, too.
We will see.
Yes, we have however many months, because this is 12 issues, right? But they're putting it out every other week.
Yeah.
Plus,
so we got 6 months worth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus in a few, what, in, was it next month or June, we also get the...
AVX.
Yeah. AVX, so...
Oh, yeah, we were going to talk about
that. Yeah, that's coming up soon, I think. Like,
I do believe it is next week. Let me check my pull list.
Well, next week would be Avengers X-Men number 3, so it would be this week or it would be the week after next, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, this week. Yeah. The week that we're just entering.
It's Sunday, dude.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's a day of rest.
Off for several days. Oh, yeah. AVX versus is next week for sure.
And by next week, you mean this week?
Yes, this week. I'm sorry. The next Wednesday that we have coming up after today. Yes.
So the one in 3 days, right?
Yeah, the one in 3 days, exactly.
The one in 3 days, okay.
Yes.
Not the one in 10 days.
No, not the one in 10 days.
Okay. 72 hours, right?
Yes. Also coming out that week is New Avengers number 25, which I think would actually have some stuff in it because it shows Iron Man with the Phoenix Force, and I guess he finds some kind of shocking connection. So.
You mean Iron Fist?
Yes, Iron Fist. I'm sorry. See how long it's been since I've read this stuff?
Okay. You mentioned Iron Man.
Yes.
Was he like everywhere in this issue?
Well, not only was that, but he was being a real ass for a very serious situation. Emma, my sweet, I do hope you'll let me make this up to you over dinner sometime. I mean, do you really need to say that kind of stuff? It's the fate of the freaking world here. I mean, really.
There's always time for caviar. Come on.
Ugh, Lord.
There's always time for caviar?
Totally.
Oh, man. Anyway, commenting, which
is salty.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I mean, it's like, okay, the fate of the world is on the line. He's assuming they're going to be able to sit down and have a nice, quiet, candlelit supper tomorrow night.
Well, that's because he's an Avenger. He knows they're going to win. So
he's also the rich, arrogant billionaire as well. I think, I don't know if they've, because the ones I remember reading in the 80s, he was a lot more humble, and it seems like they're making him more like the character from the movie, you know?
In the 80s, he was just getting over his alcoholism. He had to be a little humble. Now it's past him. He's done with that. He's big man slut again.
He's made two big, huge Hollywood movies. He can be a douche.
That's right.
We're working on the third one.
Plus Avengers, which comes out in, count them, 12 days.
12 days? I can't believe that's going to be awesome.
When did Storm and Black Panther, I knew they got married. When did they start having trouble in their marriage?
I don't know. Probably around the time wasn't it Caleb that said he kind of just dumped her off there?
His own series?
Yeah, well, there's that, yeah.
I've got my own series. I don't need you anymore.
Well, it's like he's pigheaded, and you know he's the king of an African nation. He's going to be a little arrogant anyway.
She's a goddess. They can both be a little.
Well, you would think that, yeah.
I haven't read a Black Panther comic since Christopher Priest was writing it. So
I don't know. I think I got the issue where they got married, but that's the only Black Panther anything I've ever bought in my entire life, I would have to say. So
I think Murray was read more Black Panther than both of us combined with the not the Kirby issues. What were those issues you were talking about?
Yeah, they were Kirby. They were Jack Kirby from
Wow, really?
Way back. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And he was not involved with Storm back then.
No.
I love this line. There's only one way to end this, my love. And you just know he wants to, like, grab her and throw her into bed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how we're ending it.
Yes, that's how we're ending it.
So it just tore
me up to see Wolverine fighting Magma and Sunspot. I just don't. Though it brings it up in a Newsarama article, it does give. Because, you know, Wolverine talks about why he's siding with Cap a little bit, and it does make sense to some extent. But, you know, I don't care how crazy Cyclops is, I'm on his side. I always thought he got a bad rap anyway.
There you go.
I'm still unclear why he's taking the Avengers side. I've read the lead up stuff. I have, like I said, I haven't read Avenger or Wolverine X-Men mm-hmm. number 9, but it seems historically speaking out of character.
I agree totally. Him starting that school up is out of character too, but I mean, that's kind of what reasoning he gives. He's doing it to protect the school. Which, I mean, that's what he says. My responsibility is to protect this school no matter what, and that's what I'm going to do. And he's saying, he tells everybody, you stay here, take care of the kids. And that's it. I mean,
So he creates a school so he can keep the kids out of fighting, but then he goes into a big firefight to...
Yeah.
What? To put Hope into prison? I don't understand.
I almost think he's just because of Cyclops. He's just doing it to be against Cyclops. You know, whatever Cyclops says, I'm against. You know,
I'm against it.
Uh-uh. That's kind of what I'm getting. And I don't know. I don't. And even he says in the book how much that school gets attacked, and I don't see how he's making them any safer over there. Because apparently the danger room is out of whack, and it, you know, you have flame-throwing toilets, and it just, all of a sudden, the danger room kicks in and starts attacking you.
Ooh, I need to read Wolverine X-Men number 9.
Yes.
Flaming toilets.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Cool.
I don't think you can look at either side's motivation too deeply. I mean, the Avengers want to take Hope, and then what?
Yeah, I know. What are they going to do? How are they going to keep...
Phoenix is coming, it doesn't really matter who has her.
And it's obvious at the end, even though it's not even there, that she's got enough of the power. And you know, that's one thing that what makes me want to read Secret Avengers number 26. It's actually going to get into that. I think of all the tie-ins, that one might be more important than any of them.
We will see. Those pages at the end, they were... That made me remember that John Romita Jr. did X-Men, like, way, way back.
Oh, I know. I love his artwork.
So reminiscent of his artwork way back then. Like, the page where Hope is standing there burning up Wolverine and the page where she's running off on the water there. Those were so, like, whenever he was on the X-Men. Was that, like, the 90s, the 80s? Whenever that was, like...
Oh, he's off and on for years.
Yeah, those pages could have just been lifted right out of his X-Men work. Like, it was so... It was cool. It was really...
Seeing that makes me want to read X-Men again. Makes me want to hunt down trades and back issues and all that stuff. Because that... always loved his art on Spider-Man, too. That's when I was reading it.
Right. Now, what is up with what Hope is wearing? Is that a new costume? Is it significant? Like, it looks kind of...
It's roguish. Pretty much the stuff that she's been wearing. Girl-ish. Yeah, it's what she's been wearing from what I've seen.
Yeah, no, it is. And she uses the Phoenix Force and kind of modifies it with the Phoenix symbol. It's a...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You didn't miss a fashion issue. Mm-hmm. Fashion in the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, so, and it seems like I saw the cover for the next issue, and it shows them both chasing after her, so.
An issue of a race.
Mm-hmm.
Race issue.
Oh, great, it's the running issue, okay.
Yeah, it's the Phoenix Run.
My money is on Superman, but that's just me. Oh, wait a minute, wrong race. Sorry.
Well, he's kind of going to be in here, because in the Wolverine and the X-Men... Gladiator is going to get involved, so that's kind of Superman.
Cool. Oh,
Superman.
So.
Alrighty, so who's going to win? Iron Man or Magneto?
We're going to do that, are we? Okay. I'm thinking. Okay, go ahead.
No, please. I'm listening. I'm curious.
Well, let's see. He's really not made out of iron. You know, Iron Man. And it is part of his body. So, now, I've noticed that they've done that where he's like nanobots and he can concentrate and, you know, So it's not like he puts on armor. It's like part of his body now. They even mentioned that in one of those tie-in issues where AIM had stolen genetic codes to all their powers, and he mentioned the armor's part of my body. So, yeah.
Yeah, he may not be made out of metal, but he's on an island filled with metal.
That's true, yeah. And, you know, and Magneto's pretty powerful. I think he could take him somehow. Do some kind of EM field disruption or I don't know.
I'm going with Magneto if
yeah.
Just on pure
raw power.
He's got more motivation. I mean he's more of a believer. Iron Man is just, you know, like you said, he's kind of a goofy guy. Not goofy.
This is just another adventure to him.
Yeah. Yes, there you go. Thank you.
There you go.
Another day at the office.
Where Magneto's a true believer. I mean, his priest right now is Cyclops, and he's going to follow his Pope is Cyclops. He's going to follow him.
But then you got Quicksilver coming in there to help. So it's really a team up of Iron Man and Quicksilver and Emma Frost and Magneto. So, you know.
Oh, so someone's gonna do something to Scarlet Witch and take Quicksilver off the table. That's it. That's how they're. You're threatening my sister, who I love, and I don't know her. No, don't.
I love her in a way that I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, no.
Oh, sorry. That was rude.
But it's true.
Yes. Let's see. What else
I think we're not going to have to worry about Quicksilver as part of the equation for very long.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he is nowhere near being the Flash.
As we discovered in a DC versus.
Yeah, no Speed Force. Now the fight with Rolk and Colossus / Juggernaut looks like that will play out in Uncanny X-Men number 11 coming out this Wednesday. That's what I'm seeing. Yeah, because it's right there on the cover, so that should be interesting.
Yes, because the covers have been so evocative of what's actually inside the issue.
That is true. There'll probably be two pages or something like that.
Oh, I think we got eight. If we've gotten a panel on some of these, I think we've been lucky.
Looks like Quicksilver's already out of it because he got hit with the. He's got a bunch of little needly things in him from that Dr. Nemesis or whatever the hell his name is, the guy in the white with the guns. And, I see that in the page three panels down from, you know, seeing those two, Rolk and the other, and Colossus go at it.
I predict no winner on that one.
Yeah.
I predict a draw.
And, on the Rolk and
Colossus.
Yeah, that's probably true. And then you know the you know, if you really want to get to the core of Avengers versus X-Men, you see the Luke Cage Namor and Thing fight, because that really makes me think of the Avengers and the X-Men. There. Personally, I don't know about you guys, but I just makes me remember my youth.
They're always duking it up.
Yep. So let's see what else.
Here's the thing: they're in the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they're in the water. That I totally give that to Namor.
Yeah, me too.
Let me see. The other two are just gonna sink. And,
well, I know who Namor thinks he's gonna win because he, you know, how he is.
Wait, he's Namor.
Yeah.
Well, totally. But I mean, Hulk, as strong as he is, he needs to breathe.
This is true.
Thing. You mean the Thing? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Kill me.
It's okay. Just put a diamond in a tip jar.
That's right.
I owe about $1.50 already, so.
Now, if the Thing can get Namor out of the water, then maybe.
But does he have that thing like Aquaman that if he doesn't back in an hour, he gets, you know, all dehydrated and needs a soda?
I think that special suit he's wearing, at one point in his history, he wore like a special suit that kept him hydrated.
Oh, okay. Kind of like anti-breathable stuff, like, you know, you guys have a breathable raincoat like I got that's not really breathable, but
totally,
yeah. Okay.
I don't know if it if that's still in continuity. I don't know if he still needs it, but
yeah, okay.
But he's not wearing the Speedo, so he could be wearing his hydrating body power suit.
Mm-hmm. I would never. I mean, honestly, I mean, if we're going to be geeky here for a second, I would never. Yeah, I'm going to just knock something over. I would never put Luke Cage in the same ranking with Namor. Not in a heartbeat. No.
Well, you know, I'm not sure what. I mean, Namor is pretty high class. I mean, he's up at Hulk level, I would imagine, but so is Thing. So I'm not even sure why Luke's down there.
Yeah, and Luke Cage, he was like the Tick. He was nigh indestructible. He was never indestructible. Mm-hmm. They've all of a sudden. I mean, and they've even recently. He just has mostly indestructible skin, and all of a sudden in this one, he's indestructible. I must have missed a memo, but it happened very, very suddenly. Mm-hmm. And again, being in Namor class strength, no. That's
yeah. I didn't think he was.
He's not. He's.
I mean, he might get a good shot in. Like you know.
He's got the power of popularity. Bendis loves him. So
that's true.
He is channeling popularity power.
Okay.
Oh man, that's his. What does he got? They call those M points or something like that. Or?
Oh yeah. okay. Now the one I'm not really sure on is. The Doctor Strange thing. I mean, he's not the Sorcerer Supreme anymore. Is that correct?
Because
he's not wearing the cloak, and he doesn't have the Agamotto anymore. It doesn't look like he's been. I noticed that. I know he at one point was not, and there was a deal with that with the Avengers or New Avengers, and they were looking for a new Sorcerer Supreme, and I think they was like Doctor Voodoo or something like that, and then they killed him.
Brother Voodoo, yeah.
Yeah, Brother Voodoo, okay.
Yeah, he's dead. But he's dead.
So I don't know if he's the Sorcerer Supreme now or not.
Well, is he in Defenders? I read Defenders, and honestly, I don't know if they've ever referred to him as the Sorcerer Supreme again. Yeah.
I have only read that first issue, so I don't know.
I know he's Stud Supreme in it, but I know.
He seems like he's pretty – he's kind of back because he – you know, that was the whole – concept behind his origin, I thought, was that he was like just thought his crapola didn't stink, and then he lost his ability to be a surgeon, and that now why
so he had to become a magician.
Yeah, well, I think he sought out the Ancient One to get him to heal him, and he ended up training him in as a sorcerer instead. But that's just off the top of my head.
Magic.
So, okay, and magic is pretty powerful because I know, the reason she's part of the X-Men is to keep an eye on her, if I remember correctly, from those first issues of Uncanny X-Men.
She's also part of the core team, though. She has established herself as, along with her brother, as part of the Cyclops' mm-hmm. core team. But it's also, looking at that core team, they're all a little... Left of center, right of center, off center. She's not stable.
But yeah, I was going to say damaged goods.
But she is definitely a badass, and I think does she go by Magic now or Demon Child? I don't know, whatever. But she is.
No, that's Magic. Cyclops calls her that when he goes Magic Backdoor.
Which didn't quite get that because all she got was Doctor Strange, but. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I don't know if that was a reason to put her out. Because, because that's what makes me think he's not near as powerful because he's fighting...
a girl?
Well, no, he's over on the previous page. He's fighting Magneto and Emma Frost. And, he doesn't, wrap them up in the Crimson Bands of Sidorok, so... And then be done with it. So he must not be near as powerful.
I think he can take magic.
Think so?
Yeah.
Well, they are in limbo, and is she like the ruler of that dimension now?
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Good. Good.
I think he's just gonna. Hey, baby, come on. Let's go back to my place.
He does seem to like...
Let's go to Greenwich Village.
And... He does seem to like the young women, doesn't he?
That's right. Yeah. Like, have you seen my first issue?
Yeah, uh-huh. He's like with Defenders, and he's like, Wow, that was a mistake.
I've got some stained glass that I'd really like to show off.
You come up with some etchings?
Anything? Okay, sorry.
Anyway.
Wong makes a gnarly martini. You want to shred it?
Then it shows Spider-Man and Wolverine, which, you know.
Kibasa. That's it. There.
Kibasa.
Oh.
I'm going to put the explicit tag on her now. No, I'm just kidding. But Hope took out Wolverine pretty quick, and I kind of liked that. That was cool. And, you know, something about flaming women. I don't know what it is, but.
They're hot.
She stole my joke. Oh, anyway. that was good. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Secret Avengers one. With, you know, all of them. So, anyway. Overall, the AVX book is plenty. The rest of those you really didn't need.
The continuity between these, the tie-ins and the quote-unquote main title is pretty tight. Honestly, it's been really good.
Except for the Infinite one, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, the moments, but... and actually, I guess that's a good point, because you're right. I was the one who brought up the discrepancies there, but like the end of Wolverine the X-Men, you know, Wolverine's walking off to go, you know, mm-hmm. pound on a Utopia, and Beast is heading off into space, mm-hmm. which ties in very closely with the Secret Avengers and also AVX. And,
well, that makes sense, right? Because the guys that are doing the regular books are the guys that are doing the mini, so mm-hmm.
yeah,
they're all totally connected, in yeah. sync.
Yeah, they have Bendis's, you know, notes in his Bible or whatever, and they can, I guess, you know, they're giving a little rein on what to do off-panel, but as long as they include the main story points in there, they have a lot of flexibility, and they've been pretty good about it. I mean, again, you're right. I had actually already... It took a whole week, but I'd already forgotten about it, Infinite as a...
Yeah, that was way out there.
Yeah, well, a week later and I've already forgotten, or 2 weeks later I've already forgotten.
Oh, I'll keep reminding you.
Thank you. Thanks!
Have they put out another... They haven't put out another one of those yet, have they?
And I hope they don't.
No.
What, yeah. The Infinite one?
Yeah, no, I think those are going to come out just kind of infrequently, and when they've got something mm-hmm. something special to show off.
Oh, and I will, speaking of Comicology and all that stuff, I will note that all of a sudden those digital versions started showed up in my Marvel app. So whatever was going on in the background, it might have been everybody and their brother trying to put those codes in at the same time, but they did pop up, and I can read them online through the Marvel app. I don't think I can in the other one, though, Comicology, because it's a totally different sign-in for that.
Right.
So, anyway.
And yet another strike against getting the tablet. Okay.
Oh, dude, come on. If I tell you, I got my Kindle mainly because of the news with DC. But, you know, being exclusive and everything, which, you know, that's all in limbo now. If you know, haven't been catching that, they just, like, took all that crap out of there. You can go on the website and buy that stuff and then sync it, but you can't buy it from the Comicology app on the Kindle. Nobody knows, and nobody's telling what happened there. But you can still buy comics if you go in the books thing and read, you know, buy comics. It's all DC stuff mostly, and but they're not done like Comicology, where you can zoom. You can't zoom it. You can't go into the, panel by panel thing like Comicology does. So I didn't buy any of those, even though they're pretty cheap, from buying it, you know, the physical copy. But anyway, that's off topic a little bit.
Well, it is off topic, but it's germane to this, because the whole, I mean, Marvel is now catching up with mm-hmm. getting all of their current stuff onto Comixology.
Yeah.
And there was a huge, you know, and this Avengers Infinite is, you know, probably one, at the moment the pinnacle of digital mainstream comics.
Yep.
So off topic but on topic, I'm trying to give you an out there, man.
There was, speaking of that, let me find it. But yeah, what else were we gonna talk about on that? Anything else?
I don't know, but I have to bail. I have a hunting and trapping to.
Oh, we got some hunting and trapping. Okay.
Yes. So I will listen to the end of your conversation.
Yeah, because I have a question for Caleb, and so we'll get to
that. Okay, Murray, have a good afternoon.
Yeah.
Man.
Thank you.
Catch you later.
All right. Talk to you later, man. So, Caleb.
Yes.
You saw the news I posted in our Facebook thing about the Warner Brothers has hired a director for the Lobo movie. So tell me about your feeling. Let me read a little snippet.
Please do, because I actually didn't see that.
You didn't see me put that in there? Because my comment was, it's like, oh God, no, I think is what I said. Because
when was this posted? Because I've been off Facebook. I missed Facebook on Friday, all of Saturday. I didn't get home until 11:30 last night. So when was this?
It was several days ago.
Oh shit! Okay.
Oh wait! I don't know what day this was, but yeah, if you scroll down, and I'm looking at the page right now, I have some spam for the new game that I'm getting ready to play, new MMO called Secret World. You know, if you click on the links, I get free points and get free stuff in the game. But anyway, you scroll down there, and I said, oh, .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. .. Warner Brothers hires director Brad Peyton for Lobo. So let me send you that little.
No, I've got it. I found it.
You got it? Okay.
You posted it at exactly the wrong time for me to have seen it. It looks like you posted it around 1:30 my time on Friday, which there was no way in God that I was going to see that until this morning. So
some comments there.
Created, blah, 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 Blockbuster. No, I won't.
Not excited about that?
I'm not undecided. I think it's a bad idea. I mean, just looking at the other two, a couple of the other DC movies that they've done with little vague characters, like, I don't know, let's pull out one, Jonah Hex. That turned out really well.
That was crap. Well, they added the supernatural element to it.
Or the Constantine.
I actually liked that myself.
But was it a great movie? Was it?
Let's put it this way. I never read a Constantine book story ever in my entire life until he came back with the Dark Justice League Dark stuff. So I have no point of reference to what it was supposed, the original source material. So I mean, they could have named that anything else and just been similar to it and not been Constantine, and I probably would have liked it anyway. I liked the movie, even though, you know, Keanu Reeves can't act worth a shit.
No, and it wasn't a bad movie. No, I don't. Please don't get me wrong. It was.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't let you finish.
You know, it was nowhere on the level of Catwoman or Jonah Hex or a couple of the others that we could or Ghost Rider 2 or some of the others that could probably be pulled out as examples of movies that should never have been made. But it wasn't a great movie. It wasn't Iron Man. It wasn't Dark Knight. It wasn't Superman. I mean, it was an okay movie. And hopefully they didn't spend a lot of money making it. Now, reading this little synopsis here for Lobo, I hope to God that if they're going to do this, that they don't do this movie, which is he teams up with a teenage girl to find four fugitives on Earth.
Oh, yeah, they got to do that.
Oh, God, it's Howard the Duck.
Pretty much.
It sounds god-awful.
Yeah, it does.
And as much of a Lobo fan as I am, this would be something that would go on my boycott list.
Well, see, because that's the thing. I've always hated this character.
Right.
And when they had that World's miniseries that they did, and he was one of the stories in it. That was the only story I've ever read that I actually liked Lobo in. It was actually a good story. Just, you know, I liked it. For whatever reason, I liked it. But as far as the character goes, I never have liked it. That's just my preference, and I know it's one of your favorites. So.
Oh, he absolutely is. I mean, I just
that's why I was shocked when I wrote did that, and you didn't comment. I didn't realize you were out of touch there. So. That's
I'll go on in just a few minutes and comment, or I'll add comments because it looks like some other people beat me to comments on here.
Yes. One of my colleagues in IT business, James Reiser, was in there as well.
Bottom three DC characters, boy, you people in your anti mercenary bigotry, my God. No Deadpool, no Lobo.
Oh God, Deadpool. I hate that character more. Oh my God, how many Deadpool books have they got out?
Well, now they're down to two. They're two now.
Well, so. Yeah, because they've drain that well, I think.
Yeah, but they intended to.
I'm sure they did.
They absolutely intended to, and that was back when they actually thought they were going to do a movie.
Let's see. Speaking of...
I hope they don't do... If they're going to do this movie, I hope they don't do the movie that they talked about here, though they said they probably won't. I honestly, if Guy Ritchie looks like... When Guy Ritchie was attached to it, that actually might have been cool, because that guy knows how to do violence. I mean, that guy does violence great. His Sherlock Holmes movie, Snatch.
Yeah, well, he said he stopped. He's not going to do it now, though, right?
Right.
Yeah.
No, he's not. Not according to this. It's going to be the guy who did Mysterious Island 2 or whatever, the Dwayne Johnson movie.
Yes.
Or The Rock. The Rock!
Yeah.
What's The Rock got in his kitchen? I don't know.
All right, speaking of Marvel draining the well... I saw this a couple days ago. So on the 19th, apparently, on Amazon's listing of the first hardcover of Wolverine and the X-Men, it only has 4 issues of 20-page comics for $20.
Holy crap!
That's what it actually is, but on Amazon's listing it says 7. So,
wow. 4 issues?
Yeah, so there's a lot of pissed off people. So not, I guess, I don't know, I think it's actually out. But anyway, not so much the $3.99 20-page comic, but 4.99 20-page comic and a stiff binder. That's 25 cents a page, according to this article. Added to the fact that customers can buy the books close to what retailers pay for them in advance from Amazon, there's a fair amount of ruction. Then you got the Avengers vs. X-Men hardcover, which is already being solicited.
Yeah.
Collecting the series and its spinoff of over 500 pages was knocked back from $75 to
$39. Wow.
And let's see, the Uncanny X-Force.
Wait a minute. So let's back up here. So $40 for 500 pages? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Wow. That's great. That's a tremendous.
I'm looking at the link now. Yeah, okay, yeah. The list price for it is $75.
Okay.
But Amazon has that for $39.06, 48% off. And it won't come out until November. But it's already solicited. You can already pre-order it on Amazon.
Okay. I'm of two minds of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is a great deal. Okay. If anyone is thinking of holding off, absolutely get that. The downside is, if for someone who is currently – you know, getting back pains from carrying around that Walking Dead compendium, the 48 issues compacted into one book. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of material to hold on your chest in bed, I'll tell you.
I feel like
wake up and feel like you're having a heart attack from all the pressure on your chest.
It says, according to this on Amazon's link, it's 528 pages.
Wow.
But they got $75 covered on that.
Okay, so let's say 70. Quick, break out the calculators. Divided by. So that's 14 cents a page. Well, that's not bad.
Their prices on trades are ridiculous. They really are. It says you got Uncanny X-Force, Otherworld hardcover, 5 comics for $24.99. Amazon has it for $13. And they've got some other stuff on here. So
I'm wow. Wow, 26 issues. Okay.
So anyway, I thought that was ridiculous. So yeah, the first hardcover only has 4 Wolverine X-Men hardcover has 4 issues in it.
Does it at least have some extras in it? Does it at least have some Chris Bacalo pinups?
I don't know. It doesn't really say much, but yeah, they're saying 7 issues.
But it's actually
It's actually 4. And it's $13.59 on Amazon right now.
Now, was it solicited as 7 and shipped as 4, or was it always solicited?
I don't know that. Yeah, there's only 112 pages in it, so it can't be that many.
Yeah, no, that would be closer to 4 issues.
Yeah, so there's a little, you know, consistency. Now, the Uncanny X-Men one, it's got 6 issues in it, according to the Amazon listing, and they want $20 for it as well. But they've got it for $13.45 on Amazon. I'm not sure what InStock Trades has got, but because that's what I've been. I usually get through DCBS the trades when they try to get them right when they come out because they're like half off, you know. And then they go up. You know, they're usually cheaper than Amazon on InStock Trades, but by a percent or two at least, depending on what it is. But yeah, that's just crazy. 25 cents a page. Whew. Anyway.
Yeah, that is. I would not buy that in a heartbeat. That is too expensive. That's not enough material. It's
no, absolutely not.
I like the fact that it's coming out so quickly. But
well,
I don't,
it's November, but yeah.
But still, I mean, as compared to the DC ones, like the Flash.
Yeah.
The Flash is coming out what next year or something like that.
They are really slow about that. I'm not sure why.
So it's Marvel has always been very quick about bringing these out, when, but
wow, yes,
that's to their credit, good, quick. To their detriment, bad price point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or at least content. You know, I guess that maybe there's a minimum price point they have to do, but then throw in more content.
I think so. That's got to be something like that, which kind of brings to the thing I was reading about Isaac Perlmutter, which is the CEO of Marvel and now the largest shareholder of Disney now that Steve Jobs has passed.
Yes.
There's a little article in here about Bleeding Cool that apparently he is one of the 1% in New York City with a gun license, so he can carry a pistol. So apparently there's some shakeups, and I don't know if you heard or not. It's what it says. But apparently
– I'm picturing those meetings. You want to make what movie? Yes, god damn it. I want to make that movie. It's like Clint Eastwood.
And kind of the reason that got brought up recently is because, and I don't know if you've heard it or not, I posted it in the Facebook group, but the chairman of Disney has resigned. He resigned on Friday. Rich Rosh, it says here, abruptly stepped down today as chairman of Walt Disney Studios just 2 weeks before the opening of Marvel's The Avengers, viewed as Disney's best bet to rebound from the disastrous John Carter, which I never did get a chance to see it, so I don't know how bad it was or not. Let's see. Yeah, and this is his quote. I believe in this extraordinary Walt Disney Studios team, and I believe in our strong slate of films and our ability to make and market them better than anyone else, said in a statement. But I no longer believe the chairman role is the right professional fit for me. For that reason, I have made the very difficult decision to step down as chairman of the Walt Disney Studios effective today. So
I will take my pension with me, thank you.
Yeah, now also see the things I read first was that he was fired, and that's a debate that's going on whether he was fired or not or whether he stepped down. So the person that they got that might be coming in is Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige. Or DreamWorks Studio CEO Stacy Snyder. That's what they're saying. But he's talking about stuff that he did and Avengers. He was CEO for more than a decade. But anyway, let's see. Back to this Perl Mutter guy. Yes, he's already taken control. We've talked about him on the podcast before, how he's budget obsessed and everything, and some of his studios only have, like, the places where they got everybody work only has one bathroom.
Was this the guy who went around and said, you can't have any of these trade paperbacks or something?
You can't have more than five of each one in stock, or right. You're fired. You know?
Okay.
So, the quote says here, yes, comic book TV and film entertainment company's Israeli owner, Ike Perlmutter, is not just a notoriously tough customer and a budget-obsessed megalomaniac, besides a recluse. He has taken control of Disney's consumer products division already, and it says, firing here, fixing there, and my sources tell me he is making Iger's life miserable. Iger. That must have been the guy that just left. Miserable with backseat managing of everything, especially Walt Disney Studios. That's probably why that guy left.
Probably took him in the back room and with his gun and told him to.
Yeah, get the hell out. Yeah. Heidi McDonald, New York-based industry veteran Heidi McDonald backs this up, saying, although Marvel's publishing business is still being more or less left alone due to its comics thing, it is increasingly in the middle of Disney's New York real estate problem. Disney's publishing lease on its New York office is up, and new home is being sought. Much of the staff was relocated to White Plains several years ago, but that's in White Plains is in where is that, California or New York?
White Plains?
Yeah. I forget.
I don't know.
Anyway, in another town, it says, relocated to White Plains several years ago, but the editorial offices are still in New York. Ike has reportedly volunteered to have them move into Marvel's Midtown offices which are already, quote-unquote, snug, shall we say. The plan hasn't been approved. Disney has an entire department given over just to moving people around, and they operate with military efficiency. They might even require more than one bathroom for their floor plan. Okay. Seems like a lot of shit going on in the background with them.
Well, not, but only in one bathroom.
That's true. Very true. So, anyway, that's kind of wrapping things up.
That's quite a moment to wrap it up on. Gun-toting CEO takes
over.
Yeah,
I know. One of the 1% in New York that is allowed to pack it.
I'm picturing Walt is rolling over in his grave right now.
I'm sure he is. So, and who thought that the Marvel guy would be taking over Disney? I mean, who would have ever thought that? Because, you know, Disney came in at the bottom, and then come to find out, Steve Jobs passes, then all of a sudden this guy, which seems like the devil incarnate, you know, maybe he has the Phoenix Force.
That's right.
That's got to be it.
This is going to be another tie-in to the...
Yes, it's another tie-in. Yes. The Phoenix Force Chronicles. See how I tied it all together?
I remember I went to the Disney Studios in Burbank one time, mm-hmm. and they have this cool building, the main office building, where on the outside of it, it has these almost like the it has all seven dwarves carved into the to the front of the building, kind of like in the Shazam comics when he walks in and there's the six deadly sins. They have the seven dwarves up there. Very cool. Sorry.
That's cool.
Sorry.
No, little, that's fine.
Non sequitur.
It's all good. So I think that wraps us up.
I'm good.
I'm ready.
I'm looking forward to getting some sleep today. That's my goal.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been driving a lot, man.
Yeah, I did.
That's what I did during my little mini vacation when the wife got her surgery, which went very well. She's seeing better every day.
She will be long term happy.
Yeah, she will be. She is very happy.
All right, let's Can we call this a show, perhaps?
Yes, let's call this a show. And if you want to comment about this show or any other, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. You can also real fast way is, you know, get on there on that Facebook page. You just do a little search in the search box for us on Facebook. You can find us. Any and all are welcome to join us and discuss comics or anything else that you want. We're up to 91 members now that are actually apparently staying there, which whether they're actually reading anything on there, that's, you know, another story. But let's see, what else? What else we got? Facebook, Twitter, yes, at TFT, at the at symbol TFT Long Box is our Twitter. I post little links to things every once in a while. If you're not a Facebook person, you can get a lot of the stuff that I link to there, like, you know, a little tidbit I just got through talking about, things like that. Anyway, that's about it.
Cool.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll talk next week.
Talk to you next week. Go get some sleep, man.
That's the plan right now.
All righty. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.